when I was thinking about this week and thinking, what should I bring, the word vulnerability just kept coming to me. And I thought, yeah, vulnerability, it actually means that you can be easily hurt. It's to do with a Latin word to mean wounded, and you can be wounded easily if you're vulnerable. You're weak. And we talk about being vulnerable to disease, don't we? We've got low defences. We're vulnerable. And in society, we talk about the vulnerable being the very young and the very old and the very sick. Those that can't look after themselves. Those that are dependent on others. And we hate vulnerability, don't we? We hate feeling vulnerable. And it's horrible to see, as John must have recognised at Haiti, it's horrible to see the vulnerability, isn't it? And we watched that programme, you must have watched, about the slums. And it's horrible to see vulnerability, isn't it? We don't like to see it, because what can we do? We're helpless, and we really, really hate it. It's horrid to be vulnerable. And we're vulnerable. We're all vulnerable in this world. Every one of us is vulnerable. Just this week, there were two inquests that have finished. There was the one into Derek Bird, the one that shot a whole lot of people in Cumbria, people he didn't even know. And he shot them in the face. And they were totally vulnerable. And then the 7/7 inquests have finished. And suicide bombers, we know there's no defence. Luckily, both those incidents are rare. But we cannot be invulnerable in this world, can we? Gaddafi has felt that he is. And he's not, is he? Whatever we do to make ourselves totally secure, we cannot be totally secure in this world. And the reason that we can't be totally secure is because there's sin. It's all about that. Adam and Eve were fine, weren't they, before sin came in? They had everything. There was nothing that could hurt them. Till Satan came in. And all the bad things that happen in this world, as I was saying the last time, they don't come from God, do they? They come ultimately from the devil. They come from sin. Every bad thing, its origin can be traced to sin. And sometimes we hurt ourselves by sinning, don't we? You know, I thought, well, if there's one way to say, well, make yourself a little less vulnerable to hurt in this world, it's keep the Ten Commandments, actually. It's not something that a lot of people would like to hear. But if we blatantly disobey the standards that God has set down, it will bring hurt. Maybe not at first, because sin has a pleasure for a while. It seems satisfying for a while. It's deceptive for a while. But ultimately, it brings hurt. So, if you're hurting because you're breaking God's commands, stop it. You're never going to not hurt while you're doing it. God said to his people, if you keep these commandments, I will bless you. He didn't say, I'll protect you from nothing ever happening wrong to you, because you're still in the world. But on the whole, in general, he will bless you when you do what he has set out as the standards. And we know them, don't we, in the Ten Commandments? You know, to worship him and only him, that's a biggie, a huge. But all the others, don't commit murder, adultery, false witness, lying, stealing. And of course, Jesus made it worse, didn't he? You sometimes feel that by saying, look, it's not just don't commit murder, it's don't hate people. It's not just don't commit adultery, it's don't lust after someone. He made it more difficult. Sin is, sometimes we'd like to define sin too narrowly, don't we? Well, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do the other, I'm all right. And then Jesus messes it up by making it wider. And actually, it's a whole lot wider than we think. And I'd be talking about, well, I might talk about, no, because I've been reading a book, and it's about changing, actually. Changing from the inside out. And it's it talked about a lady, and I, as though she'd got something to repent from. And I thought, hang about a bit. What's this all about? Here's this lovely lady. What's she doing wrong? And I'll read you a bit about it. This is a book by a Christian counsellor, and he has this lady visit her. She's called Mary. When I first met Mary, she was an attractive 30-year-old single woman, visibly active in her local church, highly respected by its leadership. She worked part-time as a dental assistant so that she could spend the bulk of her time and her energy in a volunteer job on the church staff as coordinator of women's ministries. The pastor had often commended her for her dedication to Christ, and more than once he'd commented from the pulpit, I wish we had a dozen more Marys in this church. She was a model for single Christian women, non-complaining, friendly, hard-working, eager to exploit her singleness as an opportunity for service. And when asked what her feelings were about marriage, she would simply respond, I'm open to whatever God has. If that's marriage, fine. But I've no plans to sit around waiting for a man to appear. There are too many good things to do. Had Mary's friends been surveyed, they would likely have described her as diligent, serious, on the go, capable. So what's her problem? I thought, somebody that's got it together, serving God with all her heart, what's the problem? But she was honest, actually, as far as she could be, because she scheduled an appointment to discuss developing feelings of being down, depressed, loss of energy that she couldn't explain, and she was beginning to be deeply troubled by a growing indifference to her church work, which she couldn't seem to reverse, even though she tried renewing her dedication and sincere prayer. Something was wrong. Her emotions were telling her that not everything's right. Although I'm doing everything that seems right. So, what's the problem? And it's interesting because he says that as he started to talk to her, he said he felt a warm comment would be as inappropriate as saying to a busy cab driver, just as he's about to let you out in busy traffic, how's your family? And as he talked to her, he realised that she was wanting him she was trying to make him be a clever consultant. rather than a caring counsellor. He said when he observed to her that she seemed to be a little bit afraid of her depressed feelings, instead of relaxing and saying, oh, feeling, oh, great, somebody's understood me, she sort of says, yes, I do experience some. Perhaps I'm feeling, and she goes on with all sorts of theories. And he says, she pulled me to study her hypothesis and offer a professional opinion while pushing me away from compassionately exploring the fears she had. And as he talked to her, he realised this woman, part of her wants me to understand what's happening, but the other part's just pushing me away. And he thought, I wonder what that is. Does she push people away in her ministry? Is it all right to come and see me for ministry, but don't get come too close to me? Is she even pushing God away? And as he talked to her, he talked about what it was like for her as a child, and she starts to relate about her father, who didn't do anything terribly wrong. She wasn't molested, she wasn't abused. But she said she couldn't remember a single conversation when she was able to talk to him about the things that she was concerned about. She always felt that to gain his attention, she had to be good at things. She had to be respected. And really, deep down, there was a little girl that just wanted to be loved for who she was. But she never was. She could never relax into love. And so, it was comfortable for her to be admired, to be respected. That's where she got her good feelings from. And she lived her life like that. When they started to explore this together, she realised what she was doing. And she was doing it even with God. She was pushing him away. She'd do whatever was comfortable for her to do, but she wouldn't take risks. She wouldn't step out of the boat. Because she'd be too vulnerable. She could be hurt. She gave herself. She let her defences down. Maybe people wouldn't love her. Maybe God would ask her to do something she didn't want to do. So she was pushing away. But she did come to the point where she said, realised that this was separating her from God. And that is actually one definition of sin, isn't it? Sin is that thing that separates us from God. And what was separating her from God was the strong defences. I'm not going to let people know how vulnerable I am. I'll put on this efficient exterior. She hardly realised she was doing it. Because we don't, do we? Our defences that we are so used to, we don't recognise them, do we, often? But we start pushing away. And she did repent of them and she did say, Lord, I want to trust you more. And he says, today Mary feels the impact of a disappointing world more keenly, but she's learning to relate with the courage love requires. Her relationship with the Lord is far richer than ever before. And in the midst of continued busyness, She senses a quietness that allows her to say no to responsibilities that she felt driven to assume before. And she now enjoys the caring involvement of friends. She was unable to change because she recognised that she was keeping that apart from God because she felt vulnerable. And we all feel vulnerable at times. And I was thinking, just like with Mary, the thing that sort of put the light on that there was something wrong was disturbing emotion. She realised that she was feeling down and she didn't know why. And things weren't going as well as she wanted to and she didn't know why. We often feel like that. You know, that we want more from God. And more from life. We want to hear God more. We want to be used by God more. And why aren't we? And we can, you know, Paul says, the things, you know, that I want to do, I don't do, and I do what I don't want to do. And it's all a bit of a mess. It's sin, isn't it? And what we're doing is we're pushing away God and pushing away others because we want to keep ourselves safe. Because we feel vulnerable. And I think the thing is that when we notice, hang on a minute, why did I react so strongly to that little event? Maybe something happened and inside I felt quite woof, woof, woof. Where does that come from? It comes from somebody making me feel a bit vulnerable. Because they're eating at my defences. Whatever I've put to make myself feel good about myself. If I think the opinions of other people are important and somebody does something to lower them, then I don't like it. Or if I have things that make me feel good and somebody spoils something. And I react in a, you know, over the top way. I can begin to think, where's that from? What is it that they are hurting that I'm using to protect myself? Because we all use things to protect ourselves. And when people, when somebody touches on something, oh, we get this reaction within ourselves, or something happens, maybe we're not one that gets all huffy, maybe we're somebody does something with it, that's it. And off we go. We're not going to stay to be hurt. So we're going to protect ourselves by withdrawing because they've touched something that made us feel vulnerable. And we don't like feeling vulnerable at all because it's a dependent state and we are independent people, which we're not supposed to be, are we? That is our whole problem. We want to sort things out ourselves. And we are not God. And we can't sort it out ourselves. But we still try. Because it's nice to have it under our control. And we like to be under control. And we like to... It's really infuriating when other people come and spoil our plans. And we haven't got control over them, have we? Sometimes we try to control others. But we can't actually, can we? There's sometimes the frustration, isn't it? Because they don't do what we want to do, them to do. And no one, no other person can be sufficient for us. And that's sometimes where we go wrong. We try to put too higher expectations on other people, wanting them always to come through for us. And they're human. And they're not going to always come through for us, because they're sinful. And they're selfish, the same as we are. And so we're going to get hurt. And what's the remedy? The remedy is to be vulnerable, isn't it? Actually, it's a sort of paradox, because God wants us to depend on him totally. When we depend on him to meet our deepest needs, then we're not vulnerable. If we don't depend on what other people think about us, or all the money that we've got in the bank or haven't got in the bank, or all the gifts and talents that we've got, or the other friends that we've got, when we don't totally depend on them, but depend on God, we are secure, aren't we? But we don't like it. Because we are a perverse people, aren't we? But God wants us to be vulnerable. He wants us to depend totally on him. And to go out to other people, even when we might be hurt. He doesn't ask us to be silly or to be a doormat. But he does want us not to spend our whole time protecting ourselves, but be free to be dependent on him. The last time that I preached, I said at the end that if you are going through a bad time, tell someone. Let people know so that they can help. That, of course, is making yourself vulnerable, isn't it? And I also said, if somebody is telling you something, listen to them. Don't answer their problem before they've told you it. Listen to them. And that, too, is a vulnerable position, because we don't like seeing other people's vulnerability, do we? It's easy to try and cover up their problems. But we need to listen to each other. So when we have emotions that we don't like, what I call disturbing emotions, we're either wanting to walk away, or we're getting all het up, or there's something wrong, we need to ask ourselves, Father, why am I feeling like this? What is it that I'm trying to protect? In what way am I not trusting you? So that we might be able to trust him more, which is what he wants. And it's the way he'll keep us secure, isn't it? And that's really all I wanted to say, to not be afraid of being vulnerable, but to be dependent on him, even when our emotions are disturbing us.